I do know who you are. I do know what I want. We have a very particular set of skills. Skills we've acquired over a certain amount of time. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. So I will find you, and I will interview you for the Gaffer Tapes.
Okay, state your name and record.
Neil Baker, started at Fleet Spurs, Wessex 1. Joined Godalming Town as joint manager with John, and then Slough Town. So that's my management so far.
John Underwood, started at Bracknell Town briefly. I'm sure that will get mentioned. Sandhurst Town, and then Godalming and Slough with Mr. Baker. And
yeah.
Current gaffer. Joint gaffer.
Yeah, there's a word that will come up. I'm actually going to write it down, joint, because you've slaughtered me the 2 years. And to be fair, there's been a couple more I'm hoping to interview as well, the guys at Chester who have... But it isn't the normal. No. It isn't the normal. And what we'll do, this won't be normal either. We'll jump around, you know, I'll start at the start, I might go to the end, I might come back to the middle. It's just how we feel it's going to go. But to go back to the start, and I've asked more or less everyone I've interviewed about this, and I'll start with you, Bix. Did you feel you were going to end up in management?
Yeah, probably from a young age, I think. My dad was playing till 43 in the conference. I used to go and watch from a five-year-old. I was always interested in management. Had a reasonable career playing, played in the conference. But I think I sort of fell out of love of playing, actually playing the game. I didn't enjoy playing. I remember probably 26, 27, having a conversation with Unders. I think we were both injured one day at Bracknell. And I always remember saying, you know, we could do this one day. We could manage. And that was probably from 26, 27. And
That early, you were sort of looking at that.
And then I got a knee injury at 29, knee and ankle injury in one training session at Bracknell. And it pretty much stopped me playing. And from that moment on, it was my only sort of ambition was to manage. And I probably didn't think that we'd get to where we are now, because when you start as low as we did, or as I did, you probably don't sit there and think you're going to, you know, move up the levels as quick as we've done. So, but yeah, for me, it's always been like I wanted to manage.
Yeah, and you, Andrew?
Fairly similar. Probably a little bit later in my playing career than Bakes. Probably late 20s, I started thinking that way. I sort of captained a few sides at that time, and probably thought more about the team than myself at that point, which is a sign that you're starting to think that way.
Yeah.
But then like Bakes, had some injuries. I was pretty injury free till I was about 27, 28. Then I had some knee problems. I did my cruciate. And then stopped playing at around the age of 30. So
probably a couple of years too late, though.
Young in today's terms, 30's a kid. You're
only
a pup.
My knee's fine now. And I could have carried on playing. But I think it just felt like the right time. I started doing my coaching badges. I started that route. And just opportunities started to come at that point for me on the coaching and
where did you go from?
So I was a player at Bracknell when I had my injuries.
Yeah.
So under Alan Taylor.
Yes.
So obviously big part in both of our careers. We played under him at Farnborough.
I remember.
I played under him briefly at Aylesbury in a spell there, and then together at Bracknell. So I assisted Alan and I went away another sort of local side at Reading Town. I did some coaching over there. And then we might as well get this one out of the way, shall we? My first proper management job was
horrific.
Was
car
Bracknell.
Crash.
Bracknell
car crash.
So I took over from Alan. Alan stepped down one summer. I'd been assistant, and I felt ready and took over. In fact, his son was Gavin Taylor, very, very good coach. Gav coached at Fulham. He's over in the US coaching now.
Yeah.
Very, very good coach. He supported me as a coach, and I had a guy called Colin Millard, who was from Reading Town, who was came over as assistant.
Yeah.
And it didn't go particularly well, if I'm honest. I think 6 points at Christmas. I had one win.
You've done well to have a job at Christmas, then, haven't you?
This is where he takes all the credit.
Yeah.
I found Bakes and became a good manager.
I love it.
6 points at Christmas. It was just wasn't going well for me at all. And then this sort of recollection of this incident is a little bit blurred and different versions of it, but I had a chat with the chairman after a defeat. I think it was
against Godalming.
It was against Godalming, randomly enough, over the Christmas period, where we kind of agreed together that things weren't really going very well.
Did you agree, or did he say,
I think I got my resignation in the
Can I have a word? I'm resigning.
I offered to step aside.
We've all been nerve the way. You haven't done it until you've been nerve.
And of course, in the next game with my group of players, the caretaker manager came in and won.
And I scored as well.
Bakes, Thanks, mate.
No problem.
So, I always say this, you know, obviously, real difficult time for me in my first management job, and you get all sorts of doubts about yourself and whether it's right for you. Looking back, I learned so
much. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You've probably no idea at the time how good it's doing.
You don't know at the time.
Because even I lost a couple of games now again, but you've especially in the early part of your career, I think you must have. As you grow up and you become better at it, you can always go back to that.
Yeah.
Well, if I can get through that, I can.
We've had some tough times together as managers.
Yeah.
Thankfully, probably more good than bad, but certainly at that point, and when you're doing it alone as well, all sorts of questions come up, and I probably wasn't experienced enough to kind of shake it off at that point.
So what was the link then? So what were you doing then?
So I continued.
He was playing badly for me.
Deliberately. I was like, it was always a plan.
It's a master plan.
I knew what I was doing.
So I
carried on playing for a little bit longer, and I think it was that was December, wasn't it? And I think I continued probably for another year and a half at Bracknell, and Byron coming as manager, Byron Walton.
You probably know Byron, and
he left at the end of the following season, and it was at that point I just had an injury. I was 29, and I wanted to get into management. Yeah. I wasn't enjoying playing football. I was nowhere near I was when I was younger. I put on weight,
put on a couple of pounds.
Yeah, they've successfully kept on.
Yeah.
You know me, Kit Moss.
Exactly. It was at that stage the Bracknell job had come up, and I'd gone for it. And I think probably because of the experience they'd had with unders, I didn't even get an interview. And you know, I'd been at the club for 6-7 years, so I was really disappointed.
Yeah.
But my local club, which was Fleet Spurs, and who I'd played for as a kid and everything, they had just come off a terrible year where they'd won a game in the Wessex One. Finished bottom of the league. They wanted to try and do something, and I thought, you know what, why not cut my teeth at that level?
Yeah, but do you know what's a funny thing is that's an old school thing as well. Mm. I always find players now want to go straight in at the level they've played at.
Yeah,
you know, they don't see too many of them drop down and sort of earn their spurs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Effectively, I'd gone down to step six football.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously played it step one, two.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it was hard. It was tough. But I think what I ended up getting was people that I knew, you know, from playing and the stuff around me. And I had no money. I had nothing. Mm. And I was putting out the kit. I was doing everything. But those things have just helped me in the long term, and I always say I find it easier managing at this level than I did at step five, step six.
Well, it's got easier aspects, you know. I think once you start paying people, they have a responsibility.
Absolutely,
I think the harder part comes when we're looking at a magnificent. It's the first time I've been here, but we're looking at a magnificent ground. It's going to be packed a lot of weeks because you're in a proper position now with a great club. So that. That's a different sort of stress as opposed to the other
one. It is, yeah, absolutely. But those experiences, I think, have probably shaped me as a manager. Yeah. And the whole time, obviously, I was at Fleet and he was at Sandhurst, and we were constantly talking, you know, we talk about players and whatever else. And it was John that come up, you know. I think Chuck Martini had gone to Walton and Hersham.
I just saw it one day, just online, just saw that they were asking for people to apply for the job, didn't give it any thought, just picked up the phone to him and just one of those moments, just said, do you fancy doing it? And we'd obviously talked about it in the past, but we weren't desperately looking.
But as a perk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was always as a perk. Yeah. It was never I'll be the guffer, you be the number two.
No, I let him be my... I didn't insist that he was my sister. No, it was. But being honest, we hadn't even thought that through.
No, we hadn't talked about it, how it'd work.
No, so it was... And it wasn't a... The thing that there weren't a lot of joint managers about, so it wasn't. It just said we'll do it together. We didn't see one or the other as we joke about it. We didn't see one of us as above the other in any way. We're just like, yeah, we'll go and do it together. And I think we interviewed without having a plan as to how, you know, things like how would match day work. You know, who's going to do what. You know, because you haven't got an assistant. No. Normally, you've got managers got huge jobs.
Yeah, absolutely.
We didn't have that, and be honest, right up until that first game. That's so right. we got the job.
It's a bit like my preparation, a blank sheet, isn't it?
It was literally a blank sheet. I mean,
we just thought that we could work together. We didn't have a plan. No. We just thought, you know, we think we know good players, we're well connected. I think if we can get a chance, we can get some good players together and get a good side.
I remember we were at Chipstead. It was a FA Trophy game. It was our first ever game together. Yeah. And we were in the car driving to Chipstead and we're like, right, so what we're going to do today? And it was very much, it was like, well, so, you know, we said... I think I said, well, you start the team talk and I'll finish the team talk, and it's been like that since day one and hasn't changed.
Well, if it's not broken,
no.
And is that because that interests me, because you see, as a guy, it's always been a manager, not always a manager, I've been a number two as well. But there's always been that. I always believe when the door's shut, if you're doing it properly, if you've got your staff in the room, I always want my staff. I would say, look, I want you to talk to me as if you're the manager.
Yeah.
I want you to think like you're the manager.
Yeah.
I want you to have a go at me as if you're the manager when the door's shut.
Yeah.
I'll make the final. Yeah. I think that wouldn't be the thing that's strange.
No.
The thing is when you're because I'll as the gaffer, I go in and go, I'm talking first. Yeah. You're talking second.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've got to work that out.
And it's. I think because neither of us have that elevated opinion of each other that we're both
we do
jokingly, some, you know, like we'll laugh and joke about it, but it's strange for people who aren't involved in it to actually understand how it works, because it does just work. It, you know, I don't feel, because he's talking first, that he's the manager and I'm the backup manager. The same way that, you know, I'll come in at we'll come in at half time and one of us will just turn around, I'm gonna start this, you know, because
has that been the same, when you're driving to the first game, you're going, well, tell you what, you start and I'll follow you, and you've maintained that
all the way through
every team talk, never changed it.
That's funny. And who goes first on you?
Always starts.
So I'll name the team, probably talk a bit about the opposition and you know, tactically what we're looking to do in the game, that type of thing. And then yours will be
more about motivational
stuff. Yeah. You know, I'll be more, this is what it looks like. You'll be more about the motivational side, whatever that might be.
And then
you'll do set pieces. And we don't say loads, to be honest.
I believe it or not, I would be the same towards the end of my career. I think that less is more sometimes. Yeah. And the other thing I would say is that, and I'm trying to make sense of this joint stuff, because the twos have killed me, because I've never maintained them. I've always said, doesn't work, can't work, it's too cloudy, it's smoke. So I'm starting to find out, you know, so straight away, the fact that you've a structure to what you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the lads now come in and they know what's going to happen. Yeah. Whereas I'm thinking, well, if you start twice and then he starts and then,
the before game bit is always the same.
Yeah.
The bit that varies will be like half time.
Because
you can't plan what...
No, exactly.
Time I would say, probably 50-50. Half the time it'll be you start. And it'll generally be, as we make that walk from there into the changing room, one of us will have a burning desire to get something out.
And it's always the other will turn around and go, yeah, no problem.
And we've argued about who goes first, because it doesn't matter. But we'll sometimes be a bit more strategic about it. So there was one the other day where I really wanted to get into half time. I really wanted, in fact, we scored right at half time. We were 1-0 down, playing really poorly. And I was really fired up to go in and get into, which we don't have to do a lot with our boys, to be honest. But I was ready to do it.
Yeah.
You were like, and so, But what we don't want to do is be negative all half time. Sure. So it was the bit of good cop, bad cop. Yeah. So I'll go in and I said, right, let me get the negative stuff out. And then we're only one, because we're talking before we'd equalise, we're only one down, then you then talk about how we're going to put it right.
Yeah.
So it's and then I can just do my bit, be the bad guy, step back, and then it's okay, that's gone now. And now Bakes is like, okay, what's the second half look like? How are we going to fix it?
Yeah.
And it might be the other way around. There's no one of us is more good or bad, or the horrible one or the nice one.
Do you see it the same?
Yeah. And that's the thing.
Always
see it.
So. Yeah. Is that not a bad thing?
No. I would say that at times with players, we will sit there and we will debate certain things.
Yeah.
So it's not, I wouldn't sit there and say we are 100% like, everything.
It's
exactly the same.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
But we all agree.
In the way we play and things like that, I think we have the same beliefs and what we sort of expect from people. But yeah, when it comes to players, there'll be times where, you know, he'll have a stronger opinion or I'll have a stronger opinion, and we just talk it through. And that's the thing, we will often, like, maybe leading up to a game in a week, have conversation every day, and we'll get to 90% of the team and be like, right, okay, yeah. And then there might be a cloudy decision on one or two, and we'll talk it through. And one of us will always somehow go, yeah, no.
I'll go with that. Yeah,
we'll go with that one.
And you've never come to the stage we go,
no.
Where you totally don't.
We haven't.
No.
We do spend a lot of time talking.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest.
Yeah.
We talk it through a lot.
Yeah.
But I think that brings you to a more. For me, if I was a, and it depends on the quality of your assistant. You've got much more experience than me of having a manager assistant relationship.
Yeah.
We've generally been together.
Yeah.
But I would, if you're a manager maybe with a slightly weaker assistant who won't argue against you, you're on your own a little
bit. Yeah.
Whereas we have all that debate in time. Yeah. We can look
I think it's brilliant.
If you've got a strong assistant, then it's obviously different. Yeah. Someone who will stand up for themselves and say, no, you're wrong. This is why that's different.
Yeah.
But most of our experience around being foot managers has been as a pair. So that this kind of feels normal to us.
Yeah. We do now. But what in the early stages did... Is it just something that developed naturally, or is it something? We've worked out that a lot of it's a natural instinct between the two, your mates, and we'll come on to that later as well. But what have you had to work at? If a lot of it's natural, what have you found that has been stuff you've had to work at for to be as a management pair?
Yeah, I think we've developed over the years in terms of listening to each other, you know, and talking things through for longer, not making snap decisions. I think
the difficult bit, actually, because the picking the team bit, although they're very difficult decisions, you sometimes have a week to do that.
Yeah.
So that's not difficult for us to reach agreement. The difficult bit is 20 minutes to go,
what
2-1
do you do?
Down, watching the substitution. And probably in our earlier days, we had more and more, not loads of arguments, but more disagreements.
Why? They're not even arguments.
I'm not sure about that.
I want to make
a change. He doesn't feel it's quite the time to do it.
Yeah.
I want to bring that player off, and he's, you know, so that, you know, if you probably had a camera on us 20 minutes to go in a game where it's not going well, you'd see us talking a lot, and at times we have a disagreement, I don't agree with him, and
you see, I get that
because we're both passionate people as well.
But we're also in that position where one of us will always back down, and it's not the same one who will back down each time, but we will appreciate that he will turn around and go, no. I really want to do this today.
Fine. Well, that's the big thing. For me, that's the key difference, is that I've had some magnificent assistants who, to be fair, better than me and are doing better than I've ever done. And I've had that, you have to be tested.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be, with 20 minutes to go, same thing with it, but because you're the manager, you've got the defining angle, no.
And
he knows he's been listened to, but it's no. Whereas that's
because,
what I'm saying.
Because there is nobody that you can turn around and say, well, which one's which? Which one is
exactly,
the one who's the
yeah,
and it's so difficult to explain because we've just got that relationship.
Well, then that's probably one of the reasons it does work, isn't it?
Because it's the relationship. Because I totally get that joint managers is not for a lot of people. Yeah. And I get that you've probably not found someone that you would want to work with, maybe in that.
My ego would never be able to.
I didn't want to say that, but
I
understand why it doesn't work. Yeah. I totally get why it doesn't work.
Yeah. There's lots more people that have tried it over the last five years, and a lot it doesn't work because they don't. I guess that they don't have the relationship.
There's also that, there's the trust thing. Like you know from football changing rooms.
Yeah.
There's only so many people you can 100% trust in the game. Yeah. Even people that you call a mate.
Yeah.
That you would not 100% trust, and it happens all over the Absolutely. All over the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
We trust each other.
And
that's one of the reasons.
I think as well, you know, and to be fair, I think you've answered, you've made a great case for it. I think it can't be doubted now. You know, I think your record now, where you've started and where we are now, there is no doubt it works. So if we take the fact that it works and it does, and we go into your career now, and you end up at Godalming together.
Yeah.
So talk me through the early stages of that, you know, because that, God bless Godalming. I've been there a few times. I was there last season with Churchy.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed an awful lot in a long, long time. And it's not the prettiest environment. And I'm talking, listen, I was manager of Hendon.
Yeah.
And I used to watch people walk in the ground and their heads would, wasn't a great place to be.
No.
But it was our place. Yeah. So I don't mean it detrimental to Godalming.
Yeah.
But how do you walk in there and go, we're going to make this?
So I think the beauty was we both come from step six, step five, where we were doing everything, and all of a sudden we came into a club where both of us had money for the first time, and it was only 975 quid.
That's an odd number.
Random 975 in our first season, and do you know what? It was the first 4 or 5 months of our management career. It was the toughest that we've had, because we took over a side that were actually doing well in the league, third, fourth in the league, and a Chuck had gone to Walton Hersham who had more money and were in a position whereby he was doubling, tripling the players'
taking
money,
taking
everyone with him. And I think we ended up keeping, I think there was like two or three.
So I should mention that the day before we took the job, it was a Wednesday night, we went and watched them at Met Police and they lost 8-1.
Yeah. And players were just
With most of the players that had got them to third or fourth, but they had down tools.
Yeah.
They got absolutely rolled over. We're there in the stand.
Yeah.
And do we want this? Do we not?
I
was going quite well at Sandhurst at the time. We had no money.
Yeah.
We were fourth, fifth, something like that in the league. I had a good group of players. Was really enjoying it, but I was also ambitious. And I had that moment. Do I? And then we sat there and I, as much as I was definitely wanted to do it, I mean, you sit and you look at them, you think, it's going to be a tough job.
Yeah.
Do I really want it? And do I want to stay where I am, nice and safe, going nicely, trying to build my reputation?
It took you probably 3 or 4 hours the next day. I remember having a phone call with him, and I was in, and you know.
Hey, here's one for you. If he had said no, would you still went for it?
No. I think it wouldn't.
I think we interviewed as a pair. I might not have gone down. So we decided to go for it. We went on the Thursday night. They played on the Wednesday at Met Police. We went to train on the Thursday and we had one-to-one meetings with every player. And some of them were really open and said, look, I'm not going to stay. I want to go. And that was fine. Like, we didn't have a problem with that. It was probably more the ones that said they were going to stay and had no intention of staying. And there was others, because there's always rules around 7-day
practice. That's right. Within 30 days.
A lot of them were
playing
a game, you know, in terms of how they were going to get out of the club. And
they wanted out.
We've all been there.
And we didn't want to hold on to players that didn't want to be there either, did we?
But we had an FA Trophy game two days later on the Saturday, and we had to put a team out. Yeah. And we'd already started talking to players about coming in. Well, we had a list of players that we knew wanted to play for us, but they were also players who were playing at other clubs
and doing well.
And the sort of lads that we like are loyal, good people, and they weren't going to leave till the end of the season. So not everyone was going to jump and come with us.
Yeah.
So of course, there's players that maybe weren't playing for whatever reason.
So we knew we were in a position whereby, come the end of the season, we could bring in a group of players.
We knew we'd be fine.
We had to get through.
You had to get there,
This was October, wasn't it?
And we ended up pulling in a few favours. People like, you know, Stuart Hart, Steve Sargent, James Evans. You know, they were living miles away.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't train, but they'd come play for us on a Saturday.
Yeah,
and then we'd mix it in with, you know, a few lads from Croydon who, you know, we had all sorts of
people coming, like asking for tri-unit. You've been there, right? You get, and what that's we had to do was take some of those, which isn't the way we do it, and certainly not where we are now.
We're
not big time, but we get hundreds of requests, and they're not even anywhere near. But we had, at that point, we had to take those sorts of players, so we had a big turnover of players, which is again isn't how we manage. Yeah. You know, we have a steady.
But then that's a big it's a big learning curve, that as well. I mean, I had a similar thing at Chertsey, and I know it's not about me, but when I went at Chertsey, they were in trouble, and there was something like 2 weeks to the deadline.
Yeah.
And within sort of like two or three nights, they'd all gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was left with like having sort of four players to get a game, same sort of situation. Yeah. And Steve Hawkins, who had brought us, who knew every player in the world, we signed to like 25 players.
Yeah.
But when I look back on it, it was the best thing that happened.
Yeah.
Because when you take over a team that's bad, which they were, you effectively feel you've got to give them a chance to see, was it the guy in charge before me? Was it? And I didn't really have that time, but without knowing it.
Yeah.
So people, it looks as if it was genius. It was
forced upon you.
Yeah. And it fluked it. Yeah. You sort of go, because they did me a favour by walking out. Yeah. So when you've got, I understand, when you've got, you're in a different situation where you have a good team you've taken over, but they don't want to be there. It's poison, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolute
was.
Poison.
Some of them were. Some of them were poisonous characters.
And how did you deal? See, that's another thing now. So now you're dealing with that one new managers, but joint managers.
Yeah.
How did you deal with it?
A lot of it was face to face, wasn't it? You know, we
like the two of you.
Yeah,
face to face with a player. I mean, I remember a lad, Sean Elliott. I remember him turning around to us and we sat down with him and said, like, you know, told him his plans and he'd said, I said, nah, sorry lads, he said, there's no way that you two are going to be good enough, you know. It was effectively along those lines. He said, there's no way you two are going to be able to achieve what I want to achieve. And you sort of, the following year, funnily enough, all those players were at Walton and Herschel, who were struggling at the bottom of the league, and we were pushing for the playoffs, you know, and it's funny how football works.
But you need, and absolutely, and it's who motivates the manager and stuff like that. Does, doesn't it? Stuff like that sits. Well, it must do because you still remember it.
Well, it does, and we've had it so many times.
You should have a photo of him in your office, shouldn't you?
Yeah.
So when you walk in now at this place and go, thanks, son.
We've had it from Godalming, from Slough. You know, even like the odd fan that you read on a fans forum going, that's absolutely mad. You know, like we remember things, and you sit there and you want to prove them wrong.
And I know we're digressing, but who cares?
Yeah.
It's fans forums. I wouldn't go near them. I used to say at Wimbledon, listen, you're not allowed in my dressing room.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed in your forum because that would put you in.
Well, see that, and that's where I'm probably quite different. And you were sort of that view. He was like, nah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But he's actually seeing the benefits of.
So he'll go and post on the fans
forum. I've done it ever since.
But when you first started doing it, there was a number of times I'd pick up the phone. What are you doing? What have you said that for?
Yeah.
Like, you should have run that past me.
But I think. But it's good on that. It's good that you get past that stuff.
What it's ended up doing is it almost manages the fans' expectations.
Yeah.
You know, because the biggest thing with fans forums, and you're always going to get your trolls and stuff like that. But the vast majority of the people were actually genuine supporters. Yeah. And, you know, the biggest thing with fans forums is you'll find somebody will say, I can't believe they've not done this. They can't. Yeah. And I would just go on and shut it down and say, oh, he didn't do this because he was injured or he was ill. And it just stops them.
We actually try and put, whether it's, not just through forums, we try and put as much information out as possible. Yeah. So every Friday for a Saturday game, we do a team news. Like some managers don't. We name our squad.
Yeah.
So we tell everybody, so-and-so's injured.
Yeah.
And now and again, we bend the truth. We don't want to give things away.
Well, I was going to say that.
But
we're
consistent in that. We put it out every time, because that also helps
manage our
fans to understand why so and so isn't playing. What?
And you're all in it together. Yeah. You know, and then if you got to keep them on
board. And that's why we try and get that insular thing where this is our club. This is our club. Everyone's involved.
Yeah.
They trust us.
They trust us. We give them information.
Well, you'd trust United, to be fair, what you've done to them. It's a thing. I spoke to Steve Baker, spoke to me about a Harrow where he'd had a similar thing, where he'd had some abuse.
Yeah.
And I think what and don't get me wrong, because my opinion of this stuff is that the vast majority of fans are honest.
Yeah.
You know, there's always, the way it was described to me is, it doesn't matter how beautiful the rose bush is,
yeah,
there's always a couple of pricks. Yeah. You know, and you have to remember that, when, because you can end up focusing on the,
and that's what we try not to. We don't get engaged in slanging matches. We don't get engaged in opinions.
What's the feedback on that, by the way?
They love
really
it.
Good.
They love it.
Yeah, yeah. It's more information given than debate. I'll be honest, I think
it used to be more,
and that's what I used to play. I said, don't give them the time of day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now it's more about just setting them straight on something, letting them know why that happened.
Yeah.
Because we read it. We could lie and say we don't. We read it. I'm interested in what they say. And it annoys me from time to time. But if there's something that we can really quickly just put right and explain, then it stops them that becoming an ongoing debate on there, where maybe spreads more negativity, because you can nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
So it's more about just correcting things, a bit of information.
Yeah.
And it's different. And it's a different way of communicating with friends. And it's not for everyone, you know, but the way I look at it is, I use my Twitter, you know, I use Twitter now, and that's just as in the main and in the open. But
one thing that you hear from fans that love non-league football, one of the things they always say is they feel closer to the players, the club. That's what they love.
Yeah.
So we're supporting that by giving them a little bit of communication. Yes. So
I think they won't get that
from Mourinho, obviously.
I think if it's done right, then it's a careful line, and you probably get to know where the line is by making a mistake, and
that's exactly it. I think when we first started and when we first went to Snap, we would debate more. We would go on, and you know, they would have their opinion, and you'd go and say, "No, you're wrong." Do you know what I mean? And you'd sit there and then you learn, because these are things that you learn about, and you think, actually, no, that's not right. That's their opinion, and they're allowed that.
It was a different.
It was a different place
then, when we came to Slough.
Well, you've got to earn your spurs. I mean, but just on that, and it's another thing when you talk about, and I suppose it's different personalities, is how you, what are you like with defeat and. But I'm talking personally now, you know, like,
difficult. I mean,
I would go home and, like, I say kick the cat. Yeah. I'm only joking, but I'd go home, it'd be a dark place for the weekend.
It's difficult. It's difficult, and I think...
How do you, individually, I
struggle, you know, I think everyone does, and I think that's where having John helps me,
because...
There'll be times where I'll be like really, really down, and he'll lift me up, and vice versa, you know. But I take it really badly, you know. Yeah. And I always have.
Well, you've answered the question. Yeah. I was going to say, is it something that's changed? Is it something you've learned to deal with better? Is it experience?
I'd say probably don't take it as hard as I used to, and that's probably because of experience and whatever else, but I still find it hard, you know, if we lose today against Eastbourne, and no disrespect at all to Eastbourne, but you look where we are and look where they are, we should be sitting there thinking it's a home win today. If we lose today, I've got my best friend's 40th birthday party tonight. I know I'm going to go there in a horrific mood, and I'm going to struggle for the evening, and I'll probably struggle for the rest of the day, and it'll be Sunday where we pick up the phone and we talk in the morning, and we'll be like, yeah, okay, that wasn't good, and we know we had a few injuries today, and we've had a few problems, a couple called in ill, so maybe that's a little bit, but maybe we've got to do this, and that then lifts me up again. And I think it's
you.
A bit,
what about you?
Yeah, the same. I hate it. In fact, we've been doing so well recently. I hate even not winning. You know, we drew at Hemel, and I felt really bad. And that's a great point at Hemel. You know, and that's never any disrespect to the teams we're playing, because we know what a tough league is.
Oh, absolutely.
But when you've been winning, when you don't win, I like the feeling of winning. Yeah. We all do. So defeats. I think we're both better than we used to be. I really do.
I think that just comes with time.
I think we're less affected by a one-off game.
Yeah.
So. Every game, especially when you're like pushing for playoffs or whatever, every game felt massive. But I think where we've got a little bit more wiser is that we know there's 20 odd games left. And, you know, I remember we stood there on New Year's Day at Wilstone, a huge game. Of course we wanted to win it. We're desperate to win it.
Yeah.
But we also knew that one game wasn't going to define our season. You know, if we were saying that we should be winning the league this year, which we're not, then that was a huge game.
Yeah.
But our aim is to get in that top seven, get in the playoffs, and we're well on target for
it.
And we knew that that is a game we could lose. We could lose it. They've got a brilliant home record.
Yeah.
So I think we go in desperate to win, but also knowing if we lose, it's not actually the end.
And I think 3 years ago, maybe longer, we had two players that we had 50-50. You know, they were 50-50 of whether they were going to be fit. And both of them were like, I could probably give it a go. Yeah. And I think 3-4 years ago, we would have pushed them and played them.
Yeah.
Whereas we talked about it, and again, that same sort of scenario where actually, yeah, it's a big game, but is it worth us losing those two players potentially for another month?
Yeah.
And I think that's where we've...
Well, that's experience. That's good experience.
You've seen the bigger picture, right? Well, yeah. Just being obsessed with that one game.
That comes with time and the job. And just going back to time and the job. So, you know, do well at Godalming without skipping over it.
Yeah.
But then this comes up. Mm. And I worked at Slough under Steve Bateman. I was his assistant for years. Loved it. Yeah, loved the people.
Yeah,
and there's no one here, so I'm not gaining anything from it. But but I loved the people. And that's why I'm so happy to see this.
Yeah.
Because they're a group of people that deserve this.
Yeah. Really hard.
Big club.
Yeah.
Always knew that. I always knew that when we were back in Sheffield. Always knew that the potential to be what you've now made it. But so that job comes up and you're at Godalming. And what talk me through that straight away. Were you interested?
It's a strange one, really. We got to the end of the season with Godalming. We'd had a brilliant season. Burnham had won it.
Yeah.
And Slough hadn't made the playoffs. And we'd finished third. And we'd got knocked out in the semi-final of the playoffs, and it was hard for us to take. And because I think at the time we'd gone up to £1,200, so the budget was £1,200, and you know, we were like, we've got players that were probably like 22, 23,
young enough,
good players that probably would start getting poached by other clubs. And so we knew the Slough job had come up.
We weren't going to have any more. Financially, we weren't going to have any more money. Like, well, they could have done a little. So as in, to make a real difference.
Yes, to make a big difference.
So we all know the size of the club. And they were very supportive of us. And we loved our time there. But there was only so far we could take
them. And we applied for the Slough job. So we talked about it. And we put our names in for it. Because we knew Dave Woos and we knew Eddie Smith. And we knew it was a good club.
Yeah,
and we thought, well, maybe that's the one that's going to take us to the next level.
Yeah.
And we then sat down with the then Godalming chairman. And do you remember, he had sat there and we talked about an increase in money, and it was ended up being £100 to £1,300.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the time, there was a guy who was sort of supporting the club, coming to a load of money, and they were talking about, you know, potentially investing heavily into the club. And we sat there and we talked about it, and we were like, you know what, let's give it another year. You know, we'd really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And so we said, we agreed to stay. Mm. So we turned around and said, right, we're going to stay. And so you'd got in touch with Slough and said, look, we're going to take our names out of the running for it. Apologies, but, you know, we've decided to stay at Godalming. 3 days later...
Hang on a minute, you know, listen, that's a big, big decision to drift. See, this is the other thing about that.
We haven't been offered the job.
Yeah,
we were throwing our names in the hat.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I mean, this thing about the investor, like, it was one of those, you've heard these things in football, we're going to get a new ground, we're going to get a new investor.
Oh, is it Southall, yeah. But you still haven't got one.
And you think, what if we go, and then it comes in, you know, we've got this great team here. So we were torn, weren't we?
Yeah.
But we are loyal people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We've been we had 2.5 years at Godalming, and we've been, this is our seventh season.
Yeah, 7 years.
So we don't jump around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was
an FA decision, and they basically changed it. So they moved the FA. So we weren't expecting to get moved leagues or anything like that.
Yeah.
We were in the Southern Central at the time, and we woke up on a Friday morning, and all of a sudden got a call from the club saying, by the way, we've been moved into the Division 1 South and West, which is all the Bath, Bristol travelling. And straight away, immediately, you know, we've had better players on the phone going, I'm not going to do this, by the way.
Yeah,
you know, not for 80 quid, not for 70 quid.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this. And so we tried to, for the next 24, 48 hours, we were like trying to be positive and said, no, we can do this, you know, stay
good
together.
Good away trips.
Good away trips.
And
we knew that they weren't going to do it, you know. Yeah. And once we'd lose 3 or 4, it would be a knock-on effect. Yeah.
And I think, sorry to interrupt you, but I think supporters have an idea but don't have a massive idea of how difficult it is to put together a group of players that's good enough. It's not an easy thing, is it, at any level?
That team got to playoffs twice on a budget at that level, which wasn't great at all, and it was a real together side, and so we turned around and we talked about it for a good couple of hours, and we said, look, do you know what, let's see whether the Slough option's still an option, and dropped him an email, and if we don't get it, we don't get it.
We try
and deal with it. But we had actually talked about potentially resigning as well.
Because
we were like, this is going to be impossible.
And
anyway, we went away. We were one of our friends stag do, and we were in Benidorm for three nights, and we're constantly talking about
beautiful cathedrals and galleries.
And we went away and. And we were talking about what we're going to do, and we hadn't heard anything from Slough.
Yeah.
And I remember sat next to each other on the plane, and we were like, probably a little bit hungover. We're like, I can't believe we've not heard anything. We're not going to get that job then. And literally, we landed. He turned his phone on, and there was
Steve Easterbrook.
Yeah, the chairman had left a message.
Nice guy as well.
I want to meet up with you.
Can you meet tomorrow?
So we went and met him in Fleet. We both lived in Fleet. He lived in Fleet, and we sat down probably for about 2.5 hours. Brilliant, just talking naturally.
It didn't feel like an interview.
He
wanted to know
how it worked.
What questions you asked.
And what would we do?
What would our plans be?
And we went away, and we were like, yeah, it was really positive. And got a phone call later that evening, and Steve was like, oh, do you want to come and have a look at where we hope the new ground will be? And we were like, we'll do that. And we sat in the car with him, and we were driving back from Slough, and I remember him saying, so what do you think then? And we're like, yeah, sounds great. And like, so is that a yes then? We're like, oh, you're on for an easy job. It was literally like that. And we agreed there and then, didn't we? It was never a financial thing at all for us. It was purely we wanted to try and better us.
I think when you're given a chance of something like, and listen, you don't know what it's going to turn out like. You have no idea. But because when you took over, what was Slough in? Div 1?
Div 1 Central.
And now you're kicking it, knocking at the door of the conference.
Still in front of 250,
270. Yeah, five. Which is still,
still good.
Because of where it is.
We were a big club at that level.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how did you find that? Because, all right, so you get the job, and sort of my own experience, a left-handed, which we'd done really well. It was one of them sort of things. And dropped down to go to Wimbledon, but knew it was a different ball. And the sort of the insecurity and the worries that brings with how's this going to be? And you have to. What I'm trying to get out of you is the reality, not the front, because I would always front it. I'd always be, this is where I want to be, and this is. I'm made for that, and inside I'm going, Christ, I hope I'm all right.
Yeah.
How were you? Because you must have known this had massive potential.
I think that was it. There'd been obviously a lot of talk about the new ground and things like that.
For you as individual, how did you feel about? We're not trying to go over. Did you feel? Because you could fall flat in your arse. Because we all can.
We probably made our lives even harder with some of the decisions we made when we first came in. So we had a view of the Slough team as it was then.
We'd probably seen them about eight or nine times previous season.
We'd seen a lot of them. We'd played against them and seen them, and some very good players. They had a good cut run, got Mansfield first round that year.
Yeah.
Good side. But we've got a very certain type of player in terms of their personality that we like. And we felt, I won't start naming names, but players in that team who weren't for us.
Yeah.
So one of the first things we did when we came in is we cleared the decks of those players.
Yeah. And that was a big thing, because all of a sudden these two people that have had no affiliation with Slough Town in the past, never played for them, got rid of all their heroes.
And how did you feel about it? Because I went through the same thing at Wimbledon, exactly the same thing.
I think we had belief by then. I think we're better managers now than we were then, but I think we had enough belief to know what we wanted, and we were strong-minded enough that we knew we had to do it.
Yeah.
And we just got on with it. We sat in my car, hands free, because you're making joy. It's not picking up the phone, you're doing it together.
Yeah.
So we went and sat in a car park, ringing these players, loudspeaker, and had discussions with these players. And one or two kind of stepped aside, probably thought that, probably a little bit like me with the chairman, apparently jumped before they were pushed, but then there was some that wanted to stay, and we said, look, we're bringing our own players, sorry, you're not for us. And so we made those decisions, and we brought a good number of the Godalming players, people that we knew and trusted, because
did the same.
In our mind, we'd been the playoffs 2 years running. We knew what it needed to get out of that league. We knew what we were lacking in our Godalming team, and we knew some of it was here. Yeah. Eddie Smith as a goal scorer, Dave Woosley, centre half.
Yeah, big Dave.
Players like that that we knew would improve us.
Yeah.
So we brought a lot over, I'd say 14 probably into pre-season. Probably about six left from Slough.
And I did exactly the same thing. Took half the Hendon team to Wimbledon. Yeah. So did you nearly have to pull the shutters down around you for the grief you're going to get and have total belief in these guys? So is that how you...
And this, we did. This does come back, going back to the fans forum. Yeah. This is where every decision was questioned, everything.
Yeah,
The friendly start. I mean, we won. We had some easy friends. We won 12-0 at Sandhurst, 9-0 at Hollyport. We're smashing these teams.
Yeah.
But then halfway through pre-season,
we played a couple of good sides.
We lost 6-0 at Wealdstone.
Yeah, and 4-2 at Burnham, who were local rivals.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
the season hadn't even started.
Yeah,
And then we had a nightmare start. Yeah. So in the week leading up to the first game, we had three strikers. One was on holiday, which we knew about. The other two got injured in the week.
Yeah,
so we started the season with a centre-half up front, and we brought in a lad, Victor Asubu. So we had Victor, he'd not even trained with us, basically. He came in alongside a centre-half. We played Northwood at home, lost 1-0.
Yeah.
And straight away,
the daggers were out, the doubts
were out. That player's not better than the one you let go.
Yeah.
And at that point, we were reading everything that was said,
because we hadn't had that at Godalming. Godalming, there was probably like 10 people that would support and watch them.
You knew your names,
absolutely.
Yeah. You knew the voice, the sound of the voice. Yeah,
so
yeah.
You didn't know
that's what I'm trying to get at. That difference. Yeah. That day when you go, this is different.
We felt that. Yeah, to be honest, we felt that. And we found that hard.
So we had probably the first 2 weeks were really hard. I think we lost 2, drew 1, won 1. And then we then got knocked out of the FA Cup against Cirencester. That's our first 5 games. And we were sitting there and we were like, okay, this is bad. And all of a sudden, like all those people were going, hang on, what have they done? And, and unfortunately, we then got ourselves into a really good run of form.
Just before you do that, how was the chairman through this period?
You remember mine. So this was the biggest thing for us. So we had that dodgy start, if you like.
Yeah.
People questioning us. Got knocked out. Sorry, it was a replay at Cirencester. And we walked out of the changing room, me and him, walking down the corridor like, I won't say what I was about to say. Not in a good place.
Yeah.
Chairman comes around the corner. And he come over and says, "You boys all right? Is everything okay?" And was worried how we were feeling.
Yeah.
Not for one minute was any criticism, questioning us. How are you boys? You okay? Yeah. Do you need anything? And that kind of gave us the confidence that he was fully behind us.
Yeah.
That gave us a big, it's a real kind of marker about what Steve's like as a guy.
Yes, I know.
He's a brilliant
chairman. Yeah, I absolutely know that. And
that helped. That helped us. Yeah. That helped us.
But I just want to stay on to go back. So you hit this period, and it just takes me back to your start at Bracknell, and you hit this with Slough. Is that something that you, because people, I think people think that when you sit in a dugout, you're inhuman, you've no feeling, you don't, and that's what I've been trying to, I'm always into the personal side of it.
Yeah.
So that was that a darker place than Bracknell, that little period?
No,
because it was only a short period, wasn't it?
I was stronger at that point through having been through once before.
Yeah,
I was a few years older, managed more games, so I think I was better equipped personally. But then I also had my mate next to me, who was, we were going through it together, and you kind of help each other through
Trent
it.
Yeah. As well. Trent was
Phillips, our goalkeeping coach. Yeah, he's been brilliant. Another one.
Been with us since
the start.
Yeah, since the start.
So, a little group of people that you trust. So we had a few little. You'll probably remember at Beaconsfield, a little porter cabin that we used to sit in.
Yeah, I do remember.
And you'd sit and you know, it'd be like a battle room. You know, you get in there after the game and you get, you know, but you'd come out of it stronger because you talked it through together. Yeah. And that's where having good people around you helps.
It does,
I think we then went after that FA Cup game. We then went on a run of like maybe 8 or 9 games where we got ourselves right up there.
They turned it round again.
Yeah. And then went into a terrible run again for. We picked up a load of injuries and it was like horrendously bad, and we probably went, I think, about 3 games on the bounce where we lost, and all of a sudden we were starting to go out of the playoffs, and you're looking at it thinking we've got to really do well in the, you know, in the new year to get into the playoffs this year.
And was that, and did that you was, feel that was,
yeah, and if, that was the hardest part. There was Kettering at home,
but just before that, did you feel that if you didn't make playoffs your job would be in doubt?
We were brought in to get them in the playoffs, so obviously
it's the only, and it's probably the only season we've really had that, I would say, pressure of you've got to try, because most people's opinion was we had to get Slough up this year. They'd had 3 years or 4 years of not, you know, just missing
I'd
out.
Been there, I'd been,
Steve had gone.
I'd been in the playoffs with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the playoffs with him.
So it was almost like, so Steve had four years and didn't get them up.
Yeah.
So if you're going to change manager and bring 2 lads in, they need to deliver. Otherwise, why bother? Yeah. Why take in Steve's experienced manager, good manager?
Yeah.
Why do it? So that was, you know,
that was the pressure
deliver.
That we felt, and we then we got.
Because I want the other set. That's not a comfortable place to be.
No,
is
it's
it?
Not. No,
no,
not
it's
at
a
all.
Dark place.
It was hard. Yeah. It was hard. Yeah. And I always remember Kettering at Christmas time, and we'd gone through this poor period. And we were starting to question one or two of our players and things like that. And it was, that was probably the toughest.
That's
probably the
by
lowest
far,
I felt.
The hardest spell we had as managers together. In nine years now.
Yeah.
By a mile. Yeah. Nothing comes close. Yeah. That was really difficult.
Yeah.
But I've got to say, we dealt with it by making some big decisions that we went with our gut again.
Yeah.
And we moved some players on.
Yeah.
And we signed some players, and we kind of overhauled. No, we made some changes, some in, some out. I mean, some of it was, you know, we had. I remember we mentioned the Kettering game over Christmas. We had 6 players stood next to us there that weren't fit. That were 6 starters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, once they're back, and you bring a couple in,
you're
flat. Doesn't
need
much. It wasn't like we weren't a good side. We just had everything going against us.
And luck's a big part.
It
you know,
is massive.
I mean, I always say to Chairman, listen. There's 2 things you can't blame me for.
Yeah.
One is the weather.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another one is injuries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless they're like training related.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the issue is that as much as, and you can't keep referring to it. So as much as you're looking at the 6 people beside you, you can't go to the supporters.
Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah.
You know, I've got these 6 because they won't. They,
no,
they'll
no, they
expect
don't
you.
They don't care. They don't care. They, you know. And
so and just on it, and this won't go out before 3 o'clock today. And I know it's just to get, you have a few injuries today, and you before we started recording, you said that not you're struggling, but you're really short on numbers, and today's a worry for you.
Yeah,
doesn't feel anywhere near like it did.
Not in the slightest. Because I think because of what we've done over the years, we can come in today. We know we've got 3 on the bench today. Yeah. One's ill. You know, so we've effectively got two fix-ups today.
Yeah.
So, you know, going into this game, we know that... But we've got a good 11 still out on the pitch. And we still
and the supporters trust you now.
And
they'll
turn around and go, they've got a few injuries.
Yeah.
And they could bring 1 or 2 players in, you know, possibly. But we're not in that position.
You come out to communicate with the fans. Yeah. We do an interview after every game now.
Yeah.
And it's Bakes. We do it. We take it in turns. Bakes. And win, lose or draw today, Bakes will explain what's happened the last couple of days, that we've had some difficulties.
And I think that's...
People are reasonable. Because we've been here a while now, because we've had good success here, people trust us.
I always remember...
They won't agree with everything, but they'll at least get it.
Yeah, I always remember when we first went in, that a few times Steve Bateman had four subs on his bench the previous season.
Yeah.
And the fans were moaning, saying, how can they not fill a bench and stuff like that? And it was. And,
yeah.
And I remember when we went in, you know, initially we were very conscious that we make sure you've got five people.
Yeah.
But it's got to a point now where we're like, you know, listen, we're not going to bring somebody in for the sake of just... to, you know, we can only ever bring three players on. So we worry less about that, and they won't talk about that now. Yeah. You know, they won't say, I can't believe they haven't got an extra player on the bench. Do you know what I mean? And that's just
go back to it. Chairman in general, you know, we've all dealt with him. Yeah. I've been really fortunate. My career's only the Gats and Albans I thought was an idiot. I'm sure he thought I was a genius, you know, but that was a big mistake. 3 months, it was all over. But the rest of the time, I could only say that they helped me, not hindered my career. Yeah. What about yourselves? Now, I know Steve, so I don't think that would be in question. I mean,
we had the guy at Godalming, he gave us our chance. You know, he gave us our chance together. Got a lot of time for him. He was a nice guy, very, very different to how Steve is, you know. Steve is and was the best chairman that I think that we will probably end up having, because he was there for us, you know. He would help us when we needed. We would talk things through with him. He never interfered.
I know him, so I can vouch for
just,
that. Yeah.
He'd just let us get on with it. Yeah. And obviously, it's a change now. You know, he stepped back now. Yeah. The ownership of the club is now with four people, which is a steering group.
Yeah.
The club is looking for somebody to come in and finance, because, let's be honest, to get to the level that we're aiming for, you need some private backing as well, you know, and that's a big thing that the clubs have now come out and said that they need, because
he's read the script. You've just taken me perfectly, because we're moving into what's going to have to be the last 4 or 5 minutes, and as always, we could talk forever. The next level,
yeah,
you know. So I watched you on New Year's Day, and great level. Nice. Yeah. The games, the league's a great level, I've been fortunate. I've watched sort of every level in the last few months. But to take you want to take this club into the conference?
Absolutely.
You've been here. This is your seventh season.
Yeah.
The club has to go and get the finances to try and help you do that. Now, here's the one for you: the next level. How long do you give yourself here to do it, or is this going to be your club end of story, or is that? Mind your own business, and then you've answered the question anyway.
It's a really good question, because it's something that we've been talking about for a while now. You know, probably this season with obviously Steve stepping back. Where we are at the moment as a club, we've obviously moved into the ground. We've had the success of getting promoted, the success of two really good FA Cup runs. We're now in a position where, you know, we consolidated in the Conference South last year, and all of a sudden we're pushing again this year. And unfortunately, our crowds haven't really done what we were hoping. You know, we're sort of, it's good. You know, we're getting 700, 750.
Mm.
But that's not going to be enough to then push on to go into the national. You know, you're looking at full-time teams, ex-football league clubs, people with clubs that have got money behind them.
Absolutely,
you know, rich chairman, benefactors. Mm. And we haven't got that here. You know, and that's not...
Well, you need one or the other. So the crowds don't matter if you've got the rich benefactor, because he'll put the difference in.
Boreham Wood
have smaller crowds than us. And
So
that's one way of doing it.
Yeah.
Or you either find a way of getting to that 1,000 through the gate and the extra revenue that comes through, or you get somebody chucking some money in. Because you look at the clubs that go up from this level, and the clubs that we're competing against now, some of those we shouldn't be competing with as we are.
Yes.
You know, and we're not big ones for talking about budgets. You have what you have, we have what we have.
You know, but the bottom line is...
everyone knows...
Listen, I respect, but I have to say this. It is about that.
Mm.
Because the bottom line is, you can only stretch a piece of elastic so far, 100%. And you can only keep it there for so long.
We're overachieving. Mm. We know that, 100%. Yeah. We're overachieving where we are on the table at the moment. Can we do that for the season? Of course we'd like to think so, but it's not a given, you know, particularly the challenges we've got today. We haven't got the huge squad.
Yes.
You know, we have, you know, so...
Let me interrupt you just a second. So you're overachieving, right?
I think so.
No, listen. Yeah. Does that mean that the club's underachieving for you?
For us at the moment, we'll talk about it, and we've sort of mentioned it. You know, we are disappointed in terms of the crowds. You know, in terms of what we're getting at the moment for what we've been doing. I know the club are now. You know, they've just got a guy called Mark Bailey come in who's now sort of going into the general public and trying to build initiatives, because
Dulwich have done it, and you know, that type of thing is what every club should be trying to do in terms of getting your numbers
and,
up.
And I think so, you know, and so that's great, but at the moment we're sort of, you know, like we've gone to a couple of games where we sit in a second, third in the league, and you're looking and it's like 650 here, and you're sitting there thinking, size is slow, you know, and so we're disappointed with that. The fans that we've got are brilliant, don't get me wrong, they are fantastic, but as a club we need to be growing that and or have that person that's got money that can help us achieve our ambitions, because we're ambitious,
we want to manage at the next level now, and we want to do it with Slough. 100%.
Yeah,
we
love it. Yeah. And it's the infrastructure of the place is fantastic, and it's got that opportunity. But if things stay as they are in terms of, and the, you know, the guys have come out with a statement, the steering group have come out with a statement this week to say that the club needs investment.
Yes.
You know, so it's not, I'm not saying anything that people don't know.
No.
If we don't get that investment, then the club can't really push on to the next level, because they're probably at their level, you know, and that's the difficulty we have, because we really want to push on.
Because you don't feel you are, yeah.
No, we really want to push on. We really want to push on.
And that, you know, And I think you've been quite honest, both of you, with that, and I appreciate your honesty in the answer. It's a difficult question to answer, and I only asked it because I wouldn't have liked to have been asked it, which is the reason I asked it. But the next thing would be then full-time football.
Yeah.
And we'll talk. And this might happen, might never happen, but we'll talk about it anyway. So to then go into full-time...
Yeah.
Would you do that with your businesses, would that be a commitment that you would both
It's easier
do?
For me. It's easier for me. I'm single. I haven't got a family. My job, I'm a financial advisor, mortgage advisor. I can come and go and do what I want when I want. I could be doing working in the evening.
Yeah.
So
I
wouldn't have to give up my my job. Yeah. It's harder for him.
It's harder for me. I want to do it. My wife's supportive of me doing it, but obviously we have to look at it. You sit down as a family.
She's the main breadwinner, isn't she?
Does it stack up?
And
so we both want. I think.
What do you do? What's your job?
So I work for a company called 3M. I'm in a sales job, a key account sales job. It's a European job now, but I don't have to do a lot of travel. But so that's not the issue. It's a decent paid job, and you know, obviously depending on the club, you know, there's two of us. That's the thing. There's two of us to pay. So we're at a point now, and we've kind of all. It feels like we've got here all of a sudden in the last year or so, where we're almost at. If you look at the pyramid, we're kind of at the top of part time managers.
Yes.
You know, yourself, you know, in the league above, you know, even Woking are part time, but Dowson's full time.
Yeah.
And there's full time in our league. Yeah. So we're kind of at that point now that we're
Muddy Gray at something there, more or less.
Yeah. So we're almost at a point where we're ready for that step. We both want to do it.
Yeah.
And it would depend on the club and
I think we can both make it work. We want to make it work.
Yeah. I think the other thing is that you're getting further up the mountain, and the higher you get up the mountain, the less opportunity there is. And that has to be.
Yeah.
But I also think that timing of when, you know, listen, you could get beaten in the playoffs this year, have a crap season next year, and be out of a job.
Correct. 100%.
So there is that side of it. But I think when you're looking at what you're looking to do. And I'm probably second guessing your words, but I don't think it'd be something you talk about all day, every day. But it has to be something that is part of your agenda. Is where are we going here?
It's become more of a part of our conversation in the last year, particularly with how things have gone this year.
Yes,
you start to think. Yeah. Could we do it? So
being brutally honest, we would love it to be here. The reason we would love it to be here is because we love it as a club. You know, we love the people that are involved, and we've sort of seen that progression from Beckensfield to here.
And I have because I'm quite close to you. I live local.
To actually take it to that next level, that would be the dream for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's whether or not the club can substantiate that.
Yeah. And Two things before we go. The first one is, don't forget to mention the gaffer tapes on your interview tonight after the game.
We'll do.
The second one is, congratulations, you've now beat Steve Baker's record of 58 minutes.
Oh,
it's an hour and 2 minutes. Yeah. And we have to wrap it up. But yep. Listen, boys, thanks. It's been excellent. Thanks everyone so much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers, babe. Thanks, mate. Top man.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA.